This is Vet Tech Talk, a podcast about Appalachian State University's online four-year Bachelor of Science in Veterinary Technology degree program. In these first episodes, we've been getting to know the professionals who run the program here at App State, learning about their lives and the paths they've taken that have led them to the university. We'll learn about the animals in their lives as well. I'm your host, Dave Blanks. Hello. Our guest today is Jen Serling, the Assistant Program Director of the Veterinary Technology Degree Program here at Appalachian State. Jen has been a credentialed veterinary technician since 1992. Her specialty, large animal nursing. She does have vast experience in all facets of veterinary medicine. She's been a veterinary technician educator since 2007 and was the program director of a veterinary technician school in Tucson, Arizona for 11 years prior to joining faculty here at App. Serling has written two veterinary technician textbooks for Blue Door Publishing on pharmacology and large animal medicine and nursing, and she's contributed to several others as well. In addition to teaching and writing, she's a firm believer in giving back to the community and serves on the board of directors for three animal welfare and rescue groups, as well as donating her time to several veterinary charity events throughout the year. Now to my conversation with Jen Serling. Welcome, Jen Serling.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So let's start it out by introducing the animals that are in your life.
Yes. So my two favorite animals. Don't tell my children this, although they know it. So I have.
Wait, are you saying your children are animals too?
Yeah. Well, they're both boys. Yes.
Oh yeah.
They
yeah.
are.
Then they're wild
yeah,
animals.
But they accept that. but yeah. So I have a dog and a cat now. So I've definitely downsized. I used to have a horse, but I've definitely downsized since then. Yeah, so my cat, his name is Marshall Meowthers, and he's an alley cat that I ended up adopting. Initially, his name was called Not My Cat because he came into the school. He kept showing up in the back door, and he would just walk in and make himself at home. And I would take him home on the weekends because I didn't want to leave him at the school. And I'm like, he's not my cat. He's not my cat. And then the weekend kept expanding longer and longer. And so now, I think 4 years later, he's not my cat.
Aww,
yeah,
that's awesome.
But he's amazing. He's just this big gray alley cat. And then my absolute favorite child is my golden retriever named Daffy.
Aww.
Yeah. So she'll be 8 this summer. And she is, the kids realize she is my absolute favorite child ever.
You can't hide it.
Yeah,
right?
She's dumb as a brick, but she's the best dog ever.
Aren't goldens supposed to be like relatively intelligent?
Oh yeah, they are. Not this one. There's air. There's air in her skull.
But she's got a good heart,
oh,
right?
Oh, she's the best. She's the sweetest dog ever.
Oh,
I
Daffy.
Love her. Yeah. Oh, all Daffy.
Right. Well, you're new to the program here at Appalachian State. The program's new. Mm-hmm. How long have you been on board here at App?
So I started here at App the end of January.
Okay.
So not too very long. I've now kind of feel like I got my feet wet and I'm ready to go. I'm in the groove. Super excited. We're starting our first cohort. Classes are starting in fall of 22. So the train has left the station. We are barreling. We're ready to go.
Well, so you've had plenty of experience in the world of veterinary medicine, technicians, technology. When did you know that this was going to be your calling?
So it's funny. I started off thinking that I wanted to go to vet school. You know, when you talk to the guidance counselor in high school, they're like, oh, you like animals, you like medicine, you like science. Well, you should be a veterinarian. During that time when I was doing my undergrad, you had to do a certain amount of hours working in a veterinary clinic before you could apply to veterinary school. And I worked as a veterinary assistant at that point. And I'm like, wow, you know what? I don't need to go to vet school. This is really what I want to do. This is veterinary nursing, and this is cool. And no one had ever talked to me at that point. That was the late 80s, which is dating me now. But I thought, wow, this is a great profession to get into that really nobody talks about. You know, they're like, okay, well, this is, if you want to go into veterinary medicine, your only option is to be a veterinarian. And that's not true. There's many other professions in the veterinary healthcare team that kind of play into that. So I ended up deciding to become a credentialed veterinary technician, and I worked my butt off in the clinics and took my board exams in 1992 and passed my state and my national examinations.
Nice.
Yeah.
So is that like a bar type thing? I mean, like, how much are you studying for this look, full disclosure, the world of veterinary technology and medicine is a new one to me. So I'm learning maybe right along with our listeners. Our listeners are probably better informed than I am. So can you tell me about that process just as an aside here?
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. So back then, Arizona, and I'm, like I said, I was from Arizona and certain states at that time as well had a grandfather clause in that instead of going to a vet tech program, like what App State is doing,
right,
you could work. It was like almost 5,000 hours in a veterinary clinic and study for your exams. And then you could go ahead and sit for the exams as long as you had a certain number of hours. So that was my initial track. I basically did on-the-job training and then took my board exams and became credentialed that way. Later on in 2016, I actually went back to tech school. After I had my bachelor's and all that, I actually then went back to tech school because I needed that veterinary technology degree to advance in my career in veterinary education. Even though I'd been doing it for umpteen years.
Well, that's hilarious.
What's even funnier, this is so bad. I used one of my books in my reports that I had to do for the online school.
Oh.
So I like cited myself.
Wow, that's
hilarious. It was kind of funny. But you know, what's beautiful about it, and you know, there's a very big push now in the veterinary technology profession to really credentialize our standards and push pro-education, which I'm 110% for. And what the beauty of kind of my backstory is I've done it both ways.
Right.
I did it without the education and I've done it with the education. And I look back at what I did and learning on the job, I would never want to do that again. And there's something to be said for knowing the why behind it and not just, I can teach a monkey to run anesthesia, but to understand why the animal is responding to drugs and gases in a certain way, can't learn that on the job.
Right.
You have to get the book smarts behind it.
Understood. Well, that's an interesting perspective that, yeah, not everybody has. We heard about some of your background as it pertains to veterinary medicine. So how has that journey led you to Appalachian State?
So, you know, it was interesting. Like I said, I've been working in the field for a long time, and I, you know, had gotten my bachelor's degree from the University of Arizona, and I was recently getting divorced, and I'm like, you know, I love veterinary medicine, but I just don't know feasibility-wise. I had two young kids, and I'm like, you know what? On a whim, let's apply for a job at a veterinary assistant program as a teacher. The hours were good and the pay was good. And I'm like, this makes much more sense as a single mom. So let's do that.
Yeah.
So I went in and again, this, I tell this story to my students because this is like how you don't go to apply for jobs. It was summer in Arizona and I was wearing shorts because I was thinking I'm just going to pick up an application, fill it out and be done with it. But actually they chased me down in the parking lot.
Wow.
And said, can you come in for an interview now? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not dressed for this. They're like, it's okay. It's fine. So they interviewed me that day and hired me the next day to teach their vet assistant program.
Holy moly.
Yeah. And that was back in 2007. And I did that for 3 years. And then at the school, they started a vet tech program and then they promoted me to the director. So I started that vet tech program, but I fell in love with it. I never imagined if you had told me, you know, 20 years ago that this is what I would be doing, I would have laughed. And I'm like, no, I don't know how to teach. I don't know what I'm doing. And I absolutely, this is my calling. This is what I meant to do. I love working with the students. I love the animals as well, but there's something about being able to give the students this leg up and show them what this incredible profession entails and just the love of science and medicine and nursing. It's amazing.
Did you have a teacher that inspired you while you were going through your educational process after you'd already done all the OTJ stuff, right? All the on the job?
Not really.
This is such an unusual story. You just on like a whim, on a lark.
Yeah.
How good was it for your ego when you were walking out and then they hunted you down and were like, come back?
It felt good because,
oh my gosh,
because I had been just a stay-at-home mom for a while.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, wait.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Hello.
So it was kind of good for the ego.
I'm
and
sure.
And I had, you know, I had worked with externs before from this particular program. So it wasn't like I was completely, you know, going through the yellow pages
right.
and going eeny, meeny, miny,
mo.
But, you know, so I'd worked with them before. And so I knew the school existed. And I'm like, well, I've worked with them at the clinic. So why not? not.
Right.
You know, but yeah, so it was kind of fate. So
yeah. So tell us about the program here at Appalachian State. I guess how did you come here to App? Did we say that already? We didn't say that yet.
No. So I had left the job as program director. I was like, you know what, I'd hit 50 and it was time to start kind of looking for a new career. And you know, the pros of the pandemic led a lot of us to kind of discover virtual education and distance education and working from home in our pajama pants, you know, that all the pluses from that.
Hey, I'm sorry you had to wear like real clothes today.
Yeah.
I apologize.
And I'm wearing makeup today too. I mean, I went all out today.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. but it was really neat. And I'm like, you know what? I think it's time for something. I've, you know, kind of reached the pinnacle of where I was at that position.
Right.
And so I had been talking to Dr. Corrigan, Virginia, previously, talking to her about starting a program and that kind of stuff. And she had mentioned that they were going to be hiring for the assistant director. And it was kind of funny, the day that I had left the old position was the day that the job posting for App State posted.
Oh, it's fate.
Yeah, it was. And I'm like, I'm on it. I applied for the job and went through a very rigorous interview process. And I knew I wanted it. I wanted it so bad. And everything that I was reading and from talking to Virginia, I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with the university. I fell in love with a 4-year bachelor's degree program. And again, it was just something that I knew I had to do. Yeah.
So you mentioned the 4-year bachelor's. So that is different than the previous educational requirement.
It is. So so normally to sit for board exams for both the national and some states have their own state exams as well. Everybody has to take the veterinary technician national examination or the VTNE. In order to take those examinations, you have to be a graduate from an AVMA accredited program. Those programs are only 2-year programs. There are some 4-year bachelor's degree programs out there, but they're bachelor completion programs and they're not regulated by the AVMA. AVMA just wants us to make sure that we have these core 2-year standards. And if you want to get a bachelor's on top of it, that's great, but they're not honing in on that. They focus on the 2-year program. So what's unique about the one here is that we're actually going to be the first full 4-year bachelor's program, meaning that not only are we going to have the core standards that the AVMA requires, but then we are also going to build upon that. So it's amazing. And that's what's really fun about it. You know, not only are you learning, you know, the AVMA standards, which has, you know, dog and cat and exotics and large animal and all that cool stuff. But we're also then, once you get beyond that, you can learn practice management. You can learn about public health. You can learn about dentistry as a specialty. So we're teaching you the core standard material and then beyond that. So it's really going to allow for our graduates to be really strong in this profession and really allow them to advocate for themselves and know their own self-worth and be out there and just kick butt.
Definitely.
Yeah.
A more well-rounded individual.
Yeah. And
so you told us about the program. Is there more you'd like to expand on the program? I know it's fully online. Mm-hmm. It's 100% online.
So we're going to be hiring some amazing faculty. We're going to be hiring what's called VTSs or veterinary technician specialists. We're going to be teaching our upper level courses. So like I mentioned, like dentistry, radiology, anesthesiology, they're going to be delivered by people that's their profession. That's what they do. And they are experts at that. But what's also interesting about it is, yes, while the program itself is 100% online, because we are going to be AVMA accredited, because we want the grads to go out there and take their board exams, there is also courses that they do have to take in clinics. So there are hands-on components to the program that they will be doing, whether they live in Boone or whether they live in Tucson, Arizona, or, you know, Potomac, Maryland, wherever, they're going to be able to do those hands-on skills wherever they're living. And if they're already working in a clinic and that clinic meets the qualifications, they can then do some of those skills in the clinics as well. We're also looking to potentially offer what we're going to call fast track labs, where we can also bring students in from all over the country or regionally and be able to do hands-on skills on horses and cattle and goats and some of the exotics that are a little bit harder for people to procure to do their lab skills. We're going to try to find sources regionally so that we can also, you know, help achieve those skills as well, because there's over 200 skills, particularly hands-on skills, that the students have to accomplish as well.
Right. Okay. So yeah, it's 100% online, but there's an in-person hand-on component.
There is, yes.
It's just that the student can do that where they are.
Exactly. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we are going to pull students. It won't just be the high country of Western North Carolina. We can pull students from wherever they are.
Mm-hmm. I'm world domination. Yeah. Let's get them from everywhere.
100%.
Yeah.
All right. I love the attitude. I will take a side note here and say, goodness gracious at the acronyms in this. I mean, there are enough acronyms in higher education as it is.
There are.
And now we have all these veterinary acronyms, which are like AVM, AVTNE, VTS. There's quite the learning curve for me, but I'm going to figure it out.
We'll get you there.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to work with you.
Y'all are so patient. I mean, I guess you have to be.
It's fun. This is what we love to talk about. And you know, all of us here in the department, you know, we're so excited and we love, you know, kind of spreading the gospel about this. And you know, all of us will pretty much talk to anybody and try to educate on this profession because it's pretty incredible.
Right.
And I don't think enough people realize that this is an option.
Yeah, even now, you know, they didn't realize it when you were looking for your calling. Even now, they still might not.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell me kind of the overarching goal for the program? Can you speak to that?
So, you know, one of the things is, and the pandemic has definitely brought it to a national kind of forefront, is that we are in a workforce crisis with both veterinarians and veterinary technicians. So we are experiencing a shortage. If you look, you know, on Indeed or, you know, any of the job searching sites, I mean, you can pull up hundreds of listings for veterinary technicians. They're desperately needed right now. And it's the same thing with veterinarians as well. But what we're focusing on, you know, in regards to here is the average kind of lifespan of a veterinary technician is anywhere between about 5 to 7 years. So they don't tend to stick in the field very long. And there's, you know, kind of a plethora of reasons for that. But what we want to do is we want to focus on how are we going to educate these students? How are we going to give them the tools to go out there to make a good living, to be able to make this a profession and make this their lifelong career and become lifelong learners? So that's kind of what we're focusing on in regards to the students and giving them all the tools and by providing them that advanced, that bachelor's degree versus the associate's degree, they're going to be that much more prepared because they're not limiting themselves. And this is what I always try to tell my students is you don't have to be limited to just a small animal general practice. And I think a lot of people kind of get pigeonholed into that thinking, but there's so much more out there. I mean, look at me. I didn't realize that I would become a teacher and now I ran a program and now I'm working at this major university. You know, I've written textbooks. I mean, there's so much more out there that they can do. They can go into pharmaceuticals. The USDA is hiring right now for veterinary technicians. You can work in research. I have a former grad that works at Colorado State working with monkeys and helping with surgeries on primate. I mean, so there's so much more out there if you kind of look at kind of the scope of veterinary technology in general. And that's what this bachelor's degree is going to prepare them for, to go out there and really just become leaders in the community and leaders in the profession.
Taking the average of, didn't you say 5 years?
5 to 7 years.
Five to seven to be in their lifetime profession.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tall order.
Yeah.
That's and you said there are a variety of reasons why they leave. And I know that giving them the tools that they need to deal with some of the more powerful or emotional moments is also part of the program as well.
Yes.
Self-care. Can you talk to me lastly, and we're going to wrap up with this. We're kind of getting down to the core of why you care about this, the human-animal bond. So do you have a story where you had a close connection with an animal, you had a bond with an animal, and what did that mean to you?
So very early on in my career, I worked at a general practice in a certain area of Tucson, and we saw...
You were born in Tucson?
I mean, no, I'm actually a D.C. girl.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, I'm an East Coast girl. That's a whole nother story
okay,
why I ended up on the West.
That'll be the next.
My dad had aspirations of being John Wayne and moved us out to the desert. So,
oh, man.
Yeah. But so I was working in Tucson. Tucson is relatively close to the Mexico border. So we did a lot of work with Border Patrol.
Right.
And we were working with the Border Patrol dogs. We had a Border Patrol dog come in and it had Valley fever, which is a really nasty fungal infection that's very common in the Southwest. So we were doing x-rays and you know, having to do the dog ended up being hospitalized. But I very vividly remember it was really interesting. We were taking x-rays and again, this is an old x-ray machine, but it would click when you would go to take the x-ray. Well, the dog, when he heard the click, thought it was a gun cocking.
Oh.
And so flipped out. So we had to bring in the handler and we had to put him in the lead shield and everything. And so the handler had to come in and had to help us get the x-rays so that the dog was calm and the dog understood German commands because it's a Border Patrol dog. But anyways, watching the interaction between the handler and the dog was just phenomenal. The bond that the two of them had. And then gradually the dog was hospitalized. We had that dog like 3 weeks. He unfortunately did end up passing.
Oh, no.
But I got to spend a lot of time with that dog. So we did develop a bond and he finally realized, okay, she's not. She's trying to help me. And it was one of the first patients that I've lost that really kind of affected me,
right.
that really hurt. I mean, we always hurt no matter what patient died, but there's certain ones that mean a lot to you. And that was one of the ones where I couldn't save it. And I really bonded with it and seeing the handler with the dog and how devastated he was. It was just, it's always a moment in medicine that's always stuck with me.
Somber.
Yeah,
story.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
Let's lift it back up.
Well, yeah, let's. How can we find out more information about this program? I know we have a pretty great website about it.
We do.
Yeah. Is it vettech.appstate.edu?
It is. And if you go on there, there's a bunch of links that you can click. If you want to, you know, look at either myself or Virginia or Mary Beth's bios, you can and get a hold of us. You can find out how to reach us on those as well. But also we have our course outlines so the students can see what classes we're going to be offering. So I, you know, encourage anyone to go check it out. All of us are open. If anyone has any questions and would like to set up a Zoom, even though I'm in Arizona, I'm always happy to talk to somebody. So
nice. Yeah. I can tell you're easy to talk to.
Yeah.
Jen, it's been very informative having you in. I've thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much for being here today. I think we covered a lot. There's more to find out and hopefully we'll get to talk again.
I'd love that.
If maybe I'll just, I don't know. I could Zoom with you because we could totally do that even though you're in Tucson.
Yeah.
How's Boone?
This is my new home away from home.
Right.
I'm hoping to be out here. We're thinking probably 4 to 5 times a year, and I absolutely love it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, we're glad to have you. And if you want to find out more information about Jen or reach out to her again, you can go to the vettech.appstate.edu website or hunt her down on LinkedIn
because
she's on there as well. Jen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
If you love animals, a degree in veterinary technology may be just what you need in your life. Put that love for animals to work for you. No matter your busy schedule, you'll learn to capably assist veterinarians and prepare for certification exams to take advantage of a flourishing job market and ensure that pets get the care they need. You can find out more by going online to the VetTech website. That's vettech.appstate.edu. VetTech Talk is a production of University Communications here at Appalachian State. Check out more of our podcasts by going online to podcasts.appstate.edu. I'm Dave Blanks. Thanks so much for listening to VetTech Talk and have a great day.